Over 150 of you asked for my opinion on Brigham Young, and honestly, I'm surprised that there's a university named after him in the first place. Brigham Young was a man who actively practiced polygamy, who trafficked women and children, who called for execution orders of Native Americans, as well as the Aiken and Mountain Meadows massacre. He also, in many ways, advocated for the institution of slavery and perpetuated racism throughout the Utah Territory, claiming many things before he died in 1877, such as having darker skin meant that you were cursed to be a servant for the rest of your life by God. Brigham Young was born in 1801 in Vermont, and he largely worked in construction and carpentry in his early life. For instance, in one case, he helped paint William Seward's house. William Seward would later become the Secretary of State under Lincoln and then purchase Alaska from Russia. In 1832, Brigham Young would see Mormon missionaries prophesying and speaking in tongues, which interests him, and he joins the religion. In 1835, he joins the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. By 1842, he also joins the Anointed Quorum, so he's elevated to a higher level of leadership in the Mormon Church. 1842 is also the year that Brigham Young would start openly practicing polygamy with Joseph Smith. He would perform the sealing ordinances for two of Joseph Smith's plural wives, and throughout his life until his death in 1877, he would marry at least 56 women, some as young as 15, some as old as 69 at the time of marriage. One case I want to highlight is the case of 18-year-old Martha Brotherton. Brigham Young corners her at a store once, and then he says here, according to No Man Knows My History, "Brother Joseph has had a revelation from God that it is lawful and right for a man to have two wives. If you will accept of me, I will take you straight to the celestial kingdom, and if you will have me in this world, I will have you in that which is to come, and Brother Joseph will marry us here today, and can go home this evening, and your parents will not know anything about it." Brotherton refuses this. She doesn't want to be married to him while he's already married to someone else, and later she signs an affidavit repeating this event as they transpired. Later on, Brigham Young would then seal himself to Martha Brotherton after she had passed away. So you're seeing the 1842 equivalent of the "God told us to be together" card being played by Young in this instance. However, I also want to emphasize that Brotherton is from England, and a lot of Mormon converts came from England and Scandinavia, because missionaries would go over there and appeal to the working class women there and try to get the most attractive ones to come with them to the United States. Sometimes they would set up these loan systems where they could take out a loan to come to the US, but not all of them were told about polygamy. Some of them were told that they had a choice regarding polygamy, but that wasn't always the case. There were lots of instances, maybe as many as 20,000, of women being essentially trafficked over to the US to serve as plural wives for leaders of the church. 2 years later, in 1844, Brigham Young is campaigning for Joseph Smith's presidency outside of Illinois when Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram are killed in Carthage, and this begins the succession crisis. Like with most religious cults, there isn't a clear line of succession. People believe that Hiram would take over after Joseph Smith had died, however he died as well. So Samuel Smith, Joseph Smith's other brother, asserts himself at the age of 36 that he is the designated president of choice. However, he dies mysteriously a month later, and some assume that he was poisoned by a Hosea Stout who gave him a white powder every single morning. After deliberation, Brigham Young is chosen as the second LDS president, mainly because he cites that the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles hold the keys to the priesthood. However, it is also written in contemporary accounts that many people might have voted for him to become the next president because he started to resemble Joseph Smith in speech and appearance, but that is simply just hearsay. By 1845, however, tensions begin to rise between Mormons and non-Mormons in the state of Illinois once again. The Illinois legislature votes to repeal the charter for the city of Nauvoo for multiple reasons, such as concerns about the militia called the Nauvoo Legion, as well as potential corruption in the courts. There's also concerns that Mormons are actively counterfeiting Mexican and American money in the city of Nauvoo. This becomes known as Nauvoo Bogus, and in 1845, a grand jury indicts Brigham Young as well as several others for counterfeiting. By 1846, Brigham Young decides that he's going to move the church further westward in order to avoid further violence and to find some sort of isolation from American oversight. Brigham Young leads the Mormons out of Nauvoo in February of 1846, and on July 24, 1847, they arrive in modern-day Utah in the Salt Lake Valley, where Brigham Young decides this is the place, and this is where the Mormons start to settle. As the Mormons begin to settle into the Salt Lake Valley, they come into contact with the local tribes, such as the Ute, Paiute, Shoshone, and the Timpanogos. And the Timpanogos are relatively warm towards the Mormons. They would gamble, fish, and trade together. However, tensions begin to rise as the Mormons start fencing off land for livestock grazing, which cuts into the food supply of the Timpanogos, who rely on foraging. It also doesn't help that the Mormons are practicing a certain type of fishing with nets that again begins to starve the Timpanogos. On top of that, the Mormons also introduce measles to the Timpanogos, which starts to kill them off in droves. This all comes to a head with the Provo River Massacre in 1850. Brigham Young instructs his people to have dominion over the Timpanogos, citing the curse of Ham, this false belief that the darker your skin, the more cursed you are by God. Fearing Timpanogos retaliation, 90 Mormon militiamen surround their encampment and open fire, killing about 10 or 12 of them. The Timpanogos flee during the night into two separate groups, and one of them gets caught, where 20 families surrender to the Mormons. They are promised overall clemency or mercy. However, the men are rounded up and executed in front of the women and children. In total, about 102 Timpanogos are killed, with 50 of them having their heads cut off and displayed on the forts as a warning to others. More than 40 Timpanogos women and children are then taken, and Brigham Young puts them into slavery, or servitude, for the purpose of weaning them from their savage pursuits and bringing them up in the habits of civilized and Christian life. In 1850, Utah is made into a territory, and Brigham Young is appointed as the governor of Utah by President Millard Fillmore in 1851. In 1852, Brigham Young also advocates for the legalization and institution of slavery, claiming that it is a natural order of God. In general, Brigham Young was quite racist. He claimed that black people held the seed of Cain, that they were cursed by God, and in general, he denied them things such as ceilings, endowment, and the priesthood, and this would not change in the Mormon Church until around 1978. By the late 1850s, however, the federal government became more concerned that the Utah Territory was acting in revolt. There were concerns that they were burning court records and that they were mistreating federal officials. And in 1857, President Buchanan orders an expedition of military troops to arrive in the territory, calling for Brigham Young to step down as governor. This would begin what was known as the Utah War. In August of 1857, Brigham Young calls for martial law, asking the people of Utah to arm themselves and to prepare for the arrival of the federal troops. In September of 1857, a wagon train en route to California arrives in Salt Lake City. They're denied provisions, and so they head down to Mountain Meadows. There, they're attacked by Mormon militiamen, and then they are promised that if they give up their weapons, they will be given safe passage out of Utah. They give up their weapons, they're rounded up, and then they are all shot, 120 of them, with only about 17 children under the age of 6 surviving. This is known as the Mountain Meadows Massacre. We don't exactly know who ordered the Mountain Meadow Massacre, but we do know that Brigham Young did call for the Aiken Massacre to take place in November of that same year. A group of 5 travelers, also heading towards California, were executed in cold blood upon the orders of Brigham Young himself. By 1858, however, Brigham Young has an advantage over President Buchanan. Buchanan is under a great deal of pressure to end the conflict in Utah because there's not very much confidence that he can actually carry out a war against them, and in general, there's growing tension between the North and the South. The Utah War would also be later known as Buchanan's blunder by some. And so Buchanan strikes a deal in that Brigham Young will step down, Buchanan's successor will become the new governor of Utah, and multiple indictments will be ignored or pardoned as long as federal troops can remain in Utah. And federal troops would remain in Utah until 1861 with the outbreak of the Civil War. While he's no longer governor of Utah, Brigham Young is still very much the president of the LDS Church, and he uses his influence quite effectively. He establishes Brigham Young Academy, which would later become BYU. He establishes townships and settlements all over, and he invests in key business ventures, such as Union Pacific Railroad, which would become wildly successful. In 1862, Congress bans polygamy, and Brigham Young openly defies it. He uses his power and influence in order to avoid prosecution and continue practicing polygamy until his death in 1877 at the age of 76. Upon his death, he is the wealthiest individual in Utah, worth about $600,000.